On the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
Well, welcome to the third Sunday of Advent. Yep, it's only December the 11th, and it's already the third Sunday of Advent, which just seems crazy. But this year, we have something very unusual, and that is that Christmas is going to be on a Sunday. So we get to have four Advent Sundays and then Christmas Sunday. We are delighted to welcome back to On the Bookshelf Marty Michalski, who is the author of The Light Before Christmas, a family Advent devotional from New Growth Press and illustrated by Sarah Bunn Huluko. The book is a way to share the wonderful story of Advent with younger kids as well as the whole family. Marty is family life pastor at Covenant Fellowship Church in Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, where he served on the pastoral staff for 30 years. He leads Promise Kingdom, the gospel-centered children's ministry of Covenant Fellowship, and is the executive editor for children's resources at New Growth Press, the author of a number of family devotionals, Sunday school curriculums, children's books, and parenting titles. His latest releases include The Light Before Christmas, Darkest Night, Brightest Day, and Build on Jesus. He and his wife have six kids and several grandkids. And the illustrator lives in Pennsylvania with her husband and identical twin daughters, her imaginative style crafted by her mentors and life experiences. So, Marty, thank you so much for making time to talk to me on the bookshelf for Christmas.
I'm so glad to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So, this book has 13 different devotionals, three for each of the 4 weeks of Advent and one more for Christmas itself. The unique way that you presented devotionals is through a little girl named Mia and her grandmother. Now, is this based on a real person, or is this just a wonderful way of doing it?
It's a Christmas story for families. I've found that when children are reading along with the story, it excites them. They always want to ask, oh, what happens next? And it keeps them going through the devotion. So you learn about this girl, Mia, and her experience with her grandmother. And her grandmother is actually in the midst of that fictional story teaching her the content, the biblical content of the devotion. So it's a way to reinforce what the kids are learning, but gives them a story to look forward to wonder. What will happen next?
Do we want to talk about the different devotionals and how Mia interacts with her grandmother? I think this is really sweet because there's something very unique about her grandmother.
Yeah, her grandmother is blind, and Mia goes to visit with her grandmother over the holidays, obviously to help her out, and the church sings a song talking about, once I was blind and now I see, and Mia notices her grandmother is crying, and she can't believe that the church would be so insensitive to sing a song that talks about seeing once you were blind with her grandmother, who obviously can't see. And when she talks to her grandmother about this to apologize for how terrible this was, her grandmother says, "Well, that's one of my favorite songs." And Mia can't believe it. And the grandmother said, "I used to be double blind. Not only blind on the outside, but blind on the inside." And then her grandmother goes on to explain that God opened her eyes to see the true light. And we see that in the prophecy of Isaiah when he says in his prophecy of the coming of Jesus, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them a light has shone. Once in darkness, now with light they see. That is a theme, a way of the Bible talks about the coming of Jesus, who is the light that Isaiah prophesied, and that's what Mia learns, the meaning of the true light of Christmas.
The next Bible passage that comes to my mind is the first chapter of John, where he talks about Jesus being the light and coming into the world, and the world did not accept him because it didn't recognize him, and knows that no Jesus, no the light, and the magnificent poetry that John 1 is. There are other passages in the New Testament, certainly, that talk about Jesus as the light, but you also bring out in this devotional, through Mia and her grandmother interacting, that there are passages in the Old Testament that see Jesus as the light as well. You mentioned Isaiah, but there are other places as well.
Yeah, and the goal is to get kids thinking, when they see the lights of Christmas, what the real meaning ultimately is behind those lights. And we decorate our tree with lights, we put lights on our homes, we put lights on our bushes outside, people set up fancy figures that they light up. Well, what is the reason for this light? Well, the reason for this light is Jesus is the light that came. And he was marked by a star of light. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And so we see this theme throughout the scripture, and it's such a wonderful way. In fact, the chapter that you described from the first chapter of John, that is his Christmas story. I mean, John doesn't talk about the baby in the manger. He talks about the light that came. That's the Christmas story according to the Gospel of John.
Right. And I grew up in a liturgical church. I'm not in one now, but I grew up in one, and I was a pastor in a different liturgical denomination for 29 years, and that is an Advent wreath. That even in the non-liturgical Southern Baptist Church, of which I am now a member, an Advent wreath is not an unusual thing, seen as a foreign in any way. I'm delighted to see that because I love the symbolism of the Advent wreath. And you open up the devotional by saying, hey, here's a project that you and your family can do together. You can make a little Advent wreath, and what you need, the types of candles that you need, and the evergreen roping and foil and all these materials to make it, and then you explain the significance of it. For people who have grown up in Christian traditions that do not use an Advent wreath, why don't you give us a little more of an explanation of the point of it and how it can be used in this season of light, in this imagery that's so important to Christmas time?
Well, of course, the four candles that are on the Advent wreath mark the four Sundays of Advent, and mm-hmm. and the candles themselves and the light, when we light them, represent the light of God reaching the world through the birth of Jesus. And then in the center is placed a fifth larger candle that represents the Savior marking his place at the center of the plan of God to save the world through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And you know, families who do projects together like this, what they actually do beyond creating the Advent wreath that they use is they create memories. You know, your kids will remember years to come. Do you remember when we made that Advent wreath? And it just becomes cemented in their minds. These moments do make a difference. And if we explain what the Advent wreath represents, then our kids won't just remember that wonderful family tradition, but they'll also remember the why behind what you did.
We are talking, in case you're just joining us, to Marty Michalski, who is the author of The Light Before Christmas, a family Advent devotional from New Growth Press. Significance of light really cannot be overstated in the Christmas story. And as you have said, even in our secular culture, we use light as a symbol of Christmas, but what you're talking about here is the deeper truth of the light coming into the world, Jesus being incarnate and coming to live among us. This is written for kids between the age of 4 and 11. That's the trick, isn't it, to make it understandable to very small children that Jesus is the light and helping them to understand that. If you were talking to teenagers, I'm assuming they wouldn't have much trouble with that. But for a little one, is that an easier way to approach it for them?
Well, you know, when you talk about light and darkness, kids get it. And you know, you never hear a child say, oh, I'm afraid of the light. They always say, I'm afraid of the darkness. And what do they want to push their fears away? They want you to turn on the light. And so that as a metaphor is so rich for kids. No kids like the dark. And if you tell the kids that when the Bible describes darkness as evil and our sin, and Jesus as light and truth as the light, and that the light comes in to send away the darkness. And the way that Jesus did that, by giving up his life on the cross so that we could be forgiven, and the light of God could come into our hearts to live. Kids connect because they know light and darkness. They know darkness represents fear, scary, what I don't like, and light represents all that I do love and that which sends my fears away. And so it's really easy to connect that metaphor with kids' experience.
Now, I know that you have a companion Sunday school curriculum, which is applicable for any Advent season, not necessarily limited to this one at all. So even though we're talking about this, and we've already started Advent, certainly people who are involved with Christian education could see this as something they could use next year if they didn't order it this year, correct?
Absolutely. You know, I lead a children's ministry, and we're always looking for something to do at Christmas time, something that will mark that month and make it special and separate from the other months. And so if you're here, you're obviously listening to this, you've already started something, or perhaps you couldn't find something this year, you can pick up a copy of The Light Before Christmas, the curriculum from New Growth Press, and put it on your shelf. Because here's the thing, if you wait until you remember that you need it, you'll forget and you won't have it. The best thing to do is to say now, when it's available, I'm going to get it and put it on my shelf. So next time, whenever Thanksgiving's approaching, I'm thinking, oh, no, I forgot. Oh, no, no, I didn't forget. I bought that last year. Praise the Lord, I don't have to worry. So that's what I do. I just try to figure out ahead of time what I'm going to use the following year.
One of the other things that you have in The Light Before Christmas is the use of Christmas carols and Christmas hymns. And as a musician, I always love any opportunity to share the wonderful music of Christmas. That one of the great thrills of being involved in worship is that during the season, we get to sing these great songs of the faith that all deal with the incarnation and in preparation for the incarnation, like O Come, Emmanuel. And you explain a little bit about each of these hymns that you chose in here. You give just enough history that for a little kid it would be enough, and for an older kid they'd want to learn more. Well, they can just Google it and find out some more about it. How did you come to choose the specific hymns that to fit the narrative that you're working with?
Well, I wanted to choose things that were songs that were familiar, but I also wanted to make sure that they kept within the theme of light. And so, you know, the second verse of the first Noel talks about seeing a star shining in the east. Verse 3 talks about the light of that same star. So you've got the talking about the light in just about every one of these songs that I've chosen. Mm-hmm. And it really fits. It's amazing how much the light is a part of these songs. So in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings. So the kids are going to see, oh my, how many songs that I sing at Christmas time talk about the light. And so that was familiar, and that it talked about light. So a little town of Bethlehem, yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. So there's so much of this theme in the songs we sing at Christmas time.
I would say that of all the themes of Christmas, that light is one of the most pervasive. And I love the way that you approach it in this devotional. I love the idea of Mia's grandmother being physically blind, but not spiritually blind, and her discussing it, as you mentioned earlier, that when she was younger, she was double blind. That is, she couldn't physically see, but she couldn't spiritually see. And then one day she saw the light spiritually, and it reminds me of a wonderful story about Fanny Crosby, who was born sighted but lost her sight very early on, just a few months into her life, due to a mistaken treatment by a doctor. And people ask her later on in her life, was she angry at the doctor, you know? And her feeling was that this was meant to be, and this helped her to focus on writing hymns, and that one day one day she'd be in heaven, and the first thing that she would get to see would be the face of Jesus. And I thought, what an incredible faith that Fanny Crosby had, that she could look at her life in retrospect and not be bitter, and instead be joyful and rejoicing and looking forward to the first thing that she could ever remember seeing would be Jesus. I think the symbolism that you're using in here with the grandmother who is physically blind but spiritually wide, her eyes are wide open, that really, to me, resonated as a Fanny Crosby type.
Yeah, it really is. And what a wonderful woman she was. How many hymns she wrote. What a gift she was to the church.
Devotional and curriculum were written to be used together, even if your congregation is not using the curriculum this year. The families can still individually appreciate this devotional. Where can they go to newgrowthpress.com or something like that? Where can they find the book itself, The Light Before Christmas, and where could Sunday school teachers or Christian educators find the curriculum?
You can find both the devotional for families and the Sunday school curriculum at newgrowthpress.com. And there's no reference in the devotional to the Sunday school curriculum. So if you're a family going through it, you wouldn't know there's a Sunday school curriculum. But if you're an educator, you can know that the family follows up on all that you do in class. So you can partner with families in your church by doing the curriculum. And what we did in our church is we bought a bunch of copies and we sold them to families at $5 each. So we ate much of the cost, not all, and it gave families an easy way to purchase that book and have some stake in it, because they had to pay something for it. It wasn't just free and toss it on the couch and never use it.
Right.
They had a stake in it, but nobody could say, man, that's just too much for me to be able to afford. And from our perspective as pastors, that was just a great investment into the families of our church. If we can get our families to teach about Jesus at Christmas and kids learn these wonderful scriptures about the light, what better opportunity could we give them? And so that's what we did.
Now, the lessons in the Sunday school curriculum, like you say, parallel, but are not completely dependent upon the devotional. Week one, based on Isaiah 9, 2 through 7, a great light in a land of deep darkness. Week two is John 1, 1 through 18, Jesus is the light of men. Week three is Luke 2, 1 through 20, glory to God in the highest. Week four, a light to the Gentiles. That's based on Luke 2, 21 through 35. That, to me, having read your book, that would really work well together. So if folks, like we said, didn't get a chance to get this curriculum this year, there's nothing stopping you from using it next year. This is the great thing about it. How does this work with illustrators? My mom was an illustrator on a couple of privately published children's books, and she provided illustrations for it once they gave her some kind of an idea of the parameters and what they sort of looked for. Do you do the same thing with your illustrator, or did you give her a manuscript and say, whatever you come up with, we will be happy with, and just see what she did? How does that work?
Well, it can work different. It can work both of the ways that you mentioned. I've worked with Sarah before. She did the illustrations for my another Advent curriculum I did called Prepare Him Room. And
yes.
So we had a little bit of a rapport. And so I gave some suggestions. I put illustration suggestions as I write. And I then say to the publisher and to the illustrator, look, I wanted to provide some suggestions where I had ideas, but feel free to come up with something yourself that you think would be more effective. And then I get the chance to review them. So when I got her illustration, there's a one illustration where there's a cardinal sitting on a fence with a bright red bow. The cardinal was red, but the bow was not colored, much like the fence post. And I just pointed out, hey, let's color that bow, because the whole point is that the cardinal's red feathers match the red bow. And, of course, the publisher and the illustrator said, oh, yeah, we certainly should have made the bow red. They made the bow red. And so there's some collaboration. I might catch a few things like that I think would work better with the story. And then, you know, Sarah just does such a great job. There really weren't needing to be any changes in what she drew. That one little adjustment was all that I found in reviewing what she had done, and has done such a great job.
Now, this makes me think of one more thing while we just have a minute to talk about it. One of the things of the Advent wreath that makes it unique is it's not just a bunch of white candles stuck on some greenery. There are different colored candles that are used for specific weeks to tie in symbolically with passages from the Bible, right?
That's right. And, you know, the other thing that I'd say is that the idea of Advent, when people celebrate Advent, they think of the coming of Jesus in a manger. But Advent has another important facet, and that is Jesus is coming again. So while we celebrate the Advent, the coming of Christ, we hope for the next Advent, the return of Christ.
I think that's really important, particularly because it's been a long time since he's been here, at least in human terms, 2,000 years. People, after a while, you could tell, even in the epistles, as they got to be written later and later in the first century, that Paul was having to address, for example, the fact that people who were believers in Jesus were waiting for him to return, had died. So what happens then? You know, he had to address this realization that Jesus was going to come back when it was the right time to come back, not when the most human beings were expecting it or clamoring for it. And so we need to be ready, but we also need to live in the meantime for Christ, so that whenever he comes back, we want to be doing things for him when he shows up.
That's exactly right. We need to have our lamps trimmed and filled and ready, just like for the bride, when the bridegroom came back in the parable. We
right.
want to be ready for Jesus.
Marty, we're almost out of time. Is there something that you wanted me to ask you to talk about and I did not? Here's your chance to make sure that we get everything that you wanted them to know in this time.
I think you did a great job. You covered everything as far as I can see.
I appreciate that. The great thing about getting a book ahead of time is you get to read it and find out for yourself what it says, and not just read the things from the publicist, which are helpful and are nice, but how much better it is to get a chance to actually read for yourself and to explore and to enjoy and appreciate. And I do have young grandchildren. In fact, all five of my grandkids are between the age of 4 and 11. So when they all come down for Christmas this year, I'm absolutely going to do a quick run through this. And every day we'll just do a different devotional and make the wreath and everything else. I think it'll just be lovely. So thank you for the chance to talk about your new book and to get the word out there. And thank you for reminding us that the light that comes into the world is Christ. And he came once in the incarnate form, but he'll be coming back, and not as a baby, but in glory and power. He will come back as a being of light, overwhelming light at that point.
Amen.
New Growth Press is in North Carolina, correct?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Okay, very good. So it's a Southern publisher. I've had the privilege of reviewing for New Growth Press for a couple of years now. I've been very impressed by the quality of the work that you guys put out. And being from a quote-unquote smaller publishing house does not mean that there's anything about it that's small. You guys do wonderful stuff, and I appreciate particularly the children's books that New Growth Press has made available to me to review, including one that I just got today. We're recording the interview before Thanksgiving, and it's on being thankful. So I'm going to go ahead and write a review of that real quick. So that'll be on the airwaves next week in time for Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
Well, Marty, thank you again. It's very nice to get to talk to you again. I enjoy your books, and I'm really always thrilled to get a chance to talk to you. So I hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas, and thank you for helping to make the light more available to families to realize how significant that is, particularly at Christmas time.
You are very welcome. You did a great job on the interview. Thanks so much.
Thank you, my friend. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Take care. Our thanks again to Marty Machowski, the author of The Light Before Christmas, a family Advent devotional with illustrations by Sarah Blaine Huluko. It's from New Growth Press of Greensboro, North Carolina. Thanks so much for joining us today. We'll have one more Sunday of Advent, and then 2 weeks from today will be Christmas Day. Make your plans to worship our Savior and King, who came to us incarnate as a tiny baby, grew up to save us from our sins. Thanks so much for listening to your favorite radio station and your favorite podcast. Until next time, I'm your host, Dave Doc Kirby. Thanks for listening, and God bless.